today is the great day, Louis Armstrong's 70th birthday. He was born on July 4th, 1900, in New Orleans. And to wish Louis Armstrong a happy birthday, I've asked one of the world's leading Armstrong enthusiasts, Armstrong authority, Armstrong collector, Jack Bradley, to join us this evening with some very special records from his Armstrong collection. Now, Jack, I know there's one record you've got that we have to play, and I'd just like to start out with it because it involves not only Louis Armstrong, but Fats Waller, and who else?
Jack T. Garden on trombone and Bud Freeman on tenor saxophone.
Boy, now there's a lineup. How did they happen to get together? What was this situation?
Well, this was an all-star group organized for Martin Block broadcast over the radio around 1938. And it's really some of my favorite Armstrong material.
What should we start with? What do you suggest?
How about I Got Rhythm?
I Got Rhythm with Louis Armstrong, Fats Waller, Jack Teagarden, Bud Freeman. Who's in the background, Jack? Who's the rest of the rhythm section, do you know?
Well, it's not definite who the drummer is. It's been suggested it's either Sid Catlett or George Wetling. And there's possibly a guitar in there on a few tunes, but I know Fats provides his own rhythm section. So.
This, in other words, this was not actually Fats's regular rhythm section.
No.
With his group. What else did they play?
Well, the next tune they did was a tune Louis first recorded in the early 30s, and it's perhaps one of his most famous tunes, Sunny Side of the Street, and this is certainly one of his best renditions of it.
Great.
You're tickling that.
Sunny Side of the Street with Louis Armstrong, Fats Waller, Jack Teagarden, and Bud Freeman. And there's a blues on this record, too, isn't it, Jack?
That's right, and it's a real novel thing because there's three different vocal choruses on it. Bats and Louis and Jack each take a chorus, and they were certainly three of the greatest vocalists in jazz to show that musicians, many of them, can sing as well as they can play.
Mm-hmm. And the piece opens, as I recall, with a voice. Is that the voice of Martin Block?
I believe so.
I see. Okay, this is just called The Blues. Fats Waller sings, Louis Armstrong sings, Jack Teagarden sings, and then everybody plays.
This ought to be good.
My, they got me in a crack. Say, my, they got me in a crack. If Louis or Jack don't take the next one, I'm gonna break my back. I'm gonna grab me a picket off somebody's fence. Listen to me, mama, I'm gonna snatch me a picket off somebody's fence. And I'm gonna whip you over your big head until you learn something.
Oh, mama, 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 where did you stay last night? Oh, mama, 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 where did you stay last night? But when you came home, your hair didn't look just
The Blues, as played and sung by Louis Armstrong, Fats Waller, and Jack Teagarden. Bud Freeman didn't sing, did he? Did you ever hear Bud Freeman sing?
I've never heard him sing. He can do just about everything else.
We've missed the opportunity, but he does act.
He sure does.
Yeah, what was that skit that he did based on Private Lives?
That's right. He made a record called Private Jives.
Private Jives, that was it. Well, I guess we're not going to hear Bud Freeman sing, but now coming up next is Tiger Rag, which Louis Armstrong must have been playing ever since he started to play in New Orleans.
I'm sure he did, although he didn't record it till around 1930. But this was one of the showstoppers. He'd have certain tunes he'd go on, like Chinatown, Tiger Rag, where he'd get up in front of the audience and blow, chorus after chorus. And on Tiger Rag, the band would count off the choruses, and it would dozens and dozens of choruses. And after that, Louis would start hitting high Cs, and he'd go up to 200 high Cs, which sounds like a physical impossibility, but I know people that heard him do it. And he'd top it off with a high F.
And you knew people who counted those 200 high Cs?
Who stood in the wings and yelled each one all the way up to 200.
But this time, we're not going to hear 200 high Cs, are we?
No, since this was in the radio station, there was time limitations, and of course, this was a different period for Louis, too. This was in the late 30s, and he had mellowed somewhat, I'm sure he still could have done the 200 high Cs.
But he also has to give the other fellas a chance here, doesn't he? With Fats Waller in the studio, Bud Freeman, Jack Teagarden, Louis sort of gives them a break.
I believe they deserve equal time.
I think so. Here it is, Tiger Rag.
Thank you.
Armstrong hitting those high ones with Bud Freeman, Jack Teagarden, and Fats Waller on Tiger Rag in 1938, a record from the Louis Armstrong collection of Jack Bradley. He's 70 years old today, born July 4th, 1900. And with me on Louis Armstrong's birthday is Jack Bradley, one of the world's leading Armstrong authorities and collectors. Jack, you're a bit young to have known Louis in the big days. When were you listening to jazz first?
Well, about the first jazz I heard was Louis, accidentally, in my hometown of Hyannis. I happened to catch a concert, and that was when he had his All-Stars around 1949 or 50.
But that was the bebop period.
Yes, bebop held no interest for me at all.
Louis sold you first on what he had?
I heard Louis and I couldn't believe my eyes. And from there on, I was sold. And I went along with Louis, and from him, I learned to appreciate all the other great jazz artists.
And incidentally, how big a collection do you have now? Do you have any idea?
Well, my total record collection is probably close to 10,000. And as far as Louis material goes, I feel I have probably 95% of his recorded material plus hundreds of hours of private broadcasts.
You mean air shots, things that were just recorded
right,
privately?
Right.
Do you ever have time to listen to it?
Not as much time as I wish.
Well, here's an opportunity. Tonight, at least, you get to hear a little bit of it. The next thing I'd like you to play, Jack, is something from the Esquire. Was it the Esquire All-Stars concert?
As you know, each year, Esquire magazine would conduct a jazz poll, and the winners would get together in a concert each year. And it was truly an all-star aggregation. And this is just one selection by one group from this concert. Louis does a tune which he's famous for, Confessing.
With, as I recall, Sidney Bechet. Isn't he in this too?
That's right. He was reunited with his old New Orleans chum. And as a matter of fact, this concert took place in New Orleans.
And this was Louis back home in New Orleans with Sidney Bechet playing Confessing.
I'm confessing that I love you. Tell me, do you love me too? I'm confessing that I need you. Honest, I do. Oh, baby, need you every moment. In your eyes I read the strange big bear. But your lips deny the truth. With your winsome beauty chasing, making them blue, making them blue. I'm afraid someday you leave me. Think, can we still be friends? If you go, you know you grieve me. All my life on you depends. Oh, baby, no more guessing that you love me. Dreaming dreams of you in vain. Oh, I'm confessing that I love you. Oh, take it in the bottom. Thank you.
just a little baby. Dreaming dreams of you in vain. Oh, I'm confessing that I love you. But I don't think that is the city and in the bed to there. Papa does this very young man in the bed. But I don't think. Oh, yeah.
That was Louis Armstrong and Sidney Bechet, both back home in New Orleans at the Esquire magazine All-Star Concert in 1947, was it, Jack?
1945.
Now, the next one coming up is another concert, but this one's in New York at Carnegie Hall, and yet it still has to do with New Orleans.
Louis had just finished filming the movie New Orleans, and I imagine this was to promote the movie in some way. Louis had his big band then. In fact, this was a period where Louis was about to give up his big band and form his All-Stars, 1947. And at this concert, he had his big band, and then half the concert he played with Edmund Hall's Cafe Society sextet.
How about beating out a couple of girls of, you know what it means to miss New Orleans?
Well, sit, Captain, I'm drunk.
What it means to miss New Orleans and miss it each night and day. I know I'm not wrong. The feeling's getting stronger the longer I stay away. Mr. Moss colored vines, the tall sugar pines, the mockingbird seems to sing, and I'd like to see the lazy Mississippi all hurrying in to spring. Oh, the Mardi Gras, the memory of real tunes that fill the air. I dream of oleanders in June. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans when that's where you left your heart? There's one thing more. I missed it when I gave up. More than I missed New Orleans. Thank you.
it mean to miss New Orleans and miss it each night and day? I know I'm not wrong. The feeling's getting stronger the longer I stay away. Miss the moss-covered mines, the tall sugar pines, where mockingbirds used to sing. And I'd like to see that lazy Mississippi a-hurrying to spring. The Mardi Gras, the memory of Creole tunes that fill the air. I dream of oleanders in June, and still I'm wishing that I was there. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans and miss it each night and day? And there's something more. I miss the one I care for more than I miss New Orleans.
It's Billie Holiday, my co-star in the picture, New Orleans.
Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday singing Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans from the picture New Orleans, which was Louis' hometown. When he was growing up there, Jack, who were the principal jazz influences on him?
Well, King Oliver has always been one of the major influences. He became a greater influence on Louis after Louis left and went to Chicago to join King in 1923. Of course, Louis always speaks about Freddie Keppard and Buddy Petit.
Who were the people who were influenced by Louis? And when did it happen? When did Louis start influencing other people?
Well, I think from the moment he started playing, probably, but especially after he went to Chicago and he really knocked Chicago on its ear, and every night, every musician that was in town and not working was crowded around the bandstand listening to King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band. And Louis was the new sensation, and it got so he even began to outshine King Oliver, the leader. And Louis's influence from there gained steadily, as did Louis's fame. And Louis has strongly influenced just about every aspect of music that I can think of.
Not just trumpet players.
Not just trumpet. Any great instrumentalist who I've spoken to has always paid his dues to Louis Armstrong, and they've been inspired by him. Also, singers, songwriters, Jimmy McHugh and Johnny Green, they not only wrote special material like Sunnyside of the Streets and such for Louis, but their style was greatly influenced by Louis.
Their style as composers?
Right.
And as lyric writers, too?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. Also, vocalists, I believe he was a great influence on Bing Crosby. Louis was sort of a crooner in his day, especially in the early 30s when he was doing things like Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. And Bing learned a lot from that. And even up to this day, singers like Tony Bennett will readily admit that they learned a lot of their singing style from Louis Armstrong.
Did Louis have influence outside of the jazz and pop fields at all? Did he have any influence on classical music?
Well, I know many classical musicians, especially horn players, were completely awed by his technique, mm-hmm. and they couldn't believe what they heard. And as far as his range, his tone, his rhythm conception, many nights members of symphony orchestra would come and hear Louis and come backstage, and they would check his mouthpiece out to see if it was a trick mouthpiece or not. And in fact, they're even doing that today. I've been with Louis many times when musicians have seriously asked to look at his mouthpiece, and with strong suspicion that it was some sort of trick mouthpiece. Uh-huh. Of course it wasn't. The only trick was Louis Armstrong.
Jack, the clock is beginning to run out on us, and I think somehow or other we ought to wish Louis a happy birthday, since this is his 70th birthday. Do you have any happy birthday records?
Oh, I sure do, and I think we should play one by my favorite musician of all time. That's Louis Armstrong.
Oh, come on. Louis Armstrong can't sing happy birthday to himself.
No, he doesn't, but he sings happy birthday to one of his favorite singers, Bing Crosby. This is from a radio broadcast in the late 30s, and it captures Louis at his most relaxed, jovial mood, and it's a lot of fun. So since he can't sing happy birthday to himself, here he is singing it to Bing Crosby.
Getting ready to wish a happy birthday to one of the finest young men and children today. This is really a great moment in my life to wish a happy birthday to that fine fellow, Papa Bing Crosby. That's what I call him. You know what I think, Papa Bing? I really, truthfully, from the bottom of my heart, wish you, the Madam Bing, all the little biggies, the very best of everything in life. Also, I wish all your horses will win every time. Yeah, man. And don't forget old Satchel, will you? Well, is this Satchel saying, yes, sir, I'm going to beat out this next one for you. You know that. Beat out that boy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Papa Crosby. Happy birthday to you. Oh, swing it, Papa Bing, there, boy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy Brother Crosby.
And happy birthday to you, Louis, 70 years and still blowing. Thanks to Jack Bradley for being with us today on Louis Armstrong's 70th birthday and for giving us the opportunity to hear some rare Louis Armstrong recordings. Tonight's program, besides celebrating Louis Armstrong's 70th birthday, also marks a less happy occasion. This will be the last broadcast of the World of Jazz, at least for this summer. We hope it may be possible to come back again in the fall. However, during the 16 years that the World of Jazz has been on the air, WQXR has carried it for 15 years as a sustaining program without sponsorship. That's a long time to keep a sustaining program going, and I'm grateful that WQXR has kept the program on the air as long as it has. But now, unless a sponsor shows up, it seems doubtful that the World of Jazz will be able to continue. Thanks to all of you for the wonderful support you've given the programs. Thanks for your letters and suggestions and your constant encouragement. If there's a potential sponsor...